I would like to read in the book of Numbers, chapter 23. Numbers 23 and verse 10. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Now, the first book of Samuel, chapter 20. 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3. And David sware moreover, and said, Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Now to the New Testament, the Gospel by Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 and verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages teaching, and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not. When she are. Verse 27. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not when she are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Finally, in the first epistle of John, First John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the Lord will bless what we have heard, and trust help us to preach the gospel faithfully from these scriptures that we have read together tonight. Just a simple thought from each of them. In Numbers chapter 23, we have read of the dread of a soul. Balaam said, Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. Balaam didn't want to be in hell. He wanted to be in heaven. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 20, the danger of a soul. David, very conscious, he said, There is but a step between me and death. When we come to Luke chapter 13, we have read of the disappointment of a soul. The door was shut. They sought admittance, but they were too late. I believe and we believe the Lord could come tonight. And if the Lord came tonight, salvation's door would shut. You would either be inside or outside. If saved, inside. If not saved, outside. Which side would you be? But then we read in 1 John chapter 1, the deliverance of a soul. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's no salvation apart from the blood. It's the blood was the price that was paid. Thank God tonight the blood blots out sin. The blood of Christ cancels sin. The blood of Christ cleanseth from all sin. Precious blood. Those sheltered by the blood. God said in Exodus chapter 12, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Not when I see your good works or deeds, but friend, it's the blood that is precious to God and precious to every soul that has fled to Christ for salvation. Now, Balaam is a very interesting character as he appears in the pages of Scripture. Balaam had thoughts about eternity. Did you ever have thoughts about eternity? But Balaam went it up like this. The end of a Christian, that's peace. And then their latter end, that will be in heaven forever. And so he requests. He said, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. That is beyond death. Balaam knew it was well with those who were born again or saved by grace. That's the way he wanted to die. But that's not the way he wanted to live. A number of years ago, a Sunday school teacher with a class of small children, about 6 years of age. She was going through the Gospel by Luke. And she came to chapter 16. And that's a very solemn chapter, especially for boys and girls around 6 years of age. And she thought, that's too strong a language. I'll just pass it over. But her conscience bothered her. She says it's in the Word of God. It's true. I must read this chapter. So she read about the chapter. Lazarus the beggar, who died, carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. She explained to those children, Abraham's bosom speaks of heaven. When Lazarus died, he begged in life, but he went to heaven. Then she read about the rich man. He was rich in life. He had everything that heart could wish. But then death came his way. He died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. She asked the class a question. Which of these two men would you rather be? Silence for a while, and then a little boy said, I would like to be the rich man when I'm living, and I would like to be Lazarus when I'm dead. That's what Balaam would have liked. Any in this meeting tonight? And that's what you would like? You would like to be rich and live in pleasure and in sin, and then when you die, for we're going to die, you would die as a believer and sail home to heaven?
It didn't work that way with Balaam. Friend, and look to your soul, it won't work that way with you. Many a person puts salvation in the back burner, like the man we've been listening about tonight, Felix. He knew that he should be saved. He trembled as he faced eternity. He tried to evade the issue. Go thy way for this time. Maybe God has been speaking to you. Maybe he has spoken to you in the past. And you have put these thoughts away in the background. You don't want to be in hell. You don't want to die without Christ. But you want to live without Christ. Friend, count the cost if your soul should be lost. You see, Balaam perished. He died in his sins. And Balaam's in hell tonight. You see, he never thought that he would ever land in hell. He wouldn't get caught. Those who rob banks, when they go to rob a bank, do you think they're thinking, well, I'm going to get caught? Farthest thought from their mind. Two men yesterday, they put it into a little restaurant. They didn't think that they were going to be blown up. But that bomb went off sooner than they had expected. One of them is in eternity. The other one's on the edge. Balaam never thought he would be in hell. Oh, he requested, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. But friend, there's a warning from God to you tonight. That's not how he died. He died fighting against the people of God. Died in his sins. And the Bible says in the Epistle of Jude, woe unto them who have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam, perish in the gainsaying of Kor. A warning to your soul tonight. Balaam desired salvation and to be in heaven whenever he came to die. Now, aren't there multitudes like that tonight? Are you one of them? You want to live in your sins, but you don't want to die in your sins because you know the consequences. Friend, I believe hell's an awful place. As a young man, 43 years ago, I got a look into hell, and it made me tremble. It shook me. It made me flee from the wrath to come. A preacher in Scotland going to preach one night, Tuesday night it was, he's walking past a glass factory. The door was open a little bit. He thought, I wonder what it's like in there. He'd never been in. So he went to the door and he opened it and he looked in. He didn't see anybody. And he went in. And as he went in, there was a great furnace. And that heat just hit him in the face. Standing there, he said to himself out loud, what must hell be like? Turned him out and went and preached. Preached Wednesday night, Thursday night. Friday night there was a man in the meeting he'd never seen before. After he preached the gospel that night, the audience left. This man sat in his seat. He came back in, he came up and sat down beside him. He said, what's your problem, sir? He said, preacher, you were in the glass factory on Tuesday night. He said, I was, but I didn't touch anything. But he says, you were in there. And he said, you said something that has bothered me since. as she looked into the furnace with the white heat, and never it hit you, you said, what must hell be like? He says, I stoked that furnace and have been doing it for years, and it never crossed my mind. But oh, he says, it's bothering me. That's only a furnace that I stoke. But what about hell? He says, preacher, I came here tonight. I don't want to find out what hell is going to be like. I wonder, is there a man in our meeting tonight? Have you listened to the gospel? Are you going to find out what hell is going to be like? Is there a dear woman? Is there a boy brought up in a Christian home? Or is there a girl? And you're going to find out what hell is going to be like. Oh, the dread of a soul. No person in the right senses ever wants to be in hell. Hell is dark. It's deep. It's awful. Turn, poor sinner, turn and flee. God has made provision for the sinner that they may escape the wrath of God. And if you're willing to take God's way, if you're willing to let God be true and every man a liar, and simply close in with God's offer of mercy, salvation can be yours in this meeting tonight. God has no exceptions. Men try to excuse themselves in many ways and shapes and forms. But yet, the message of the gospel, for God so loved the world, that doesn't leave one person out. Girl told me one night, she says, for God so loved the world except me. That's not what it says. That was only an excuse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's love, manifested at Calvary by the death of the Lord Jesus on account of the sinner. Oh, the dread of a soul, wanting to live in their sins but not to die in their sins. Is there one in our meeting tonight? Friend, be wise. These things are for eternity. We're not here to play church. Why, if there was nothing to it, far better to go home, go to bed, than face these matters. But they're real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Eternity's real. No end to the great beyond. We read of the danger of a soul. David said there's but a step between me and death. Now that's not very far. That is for those here tonight in this meeting that see. It may be only a step to heaven. But friend, for those who are not saved, it would be a step to heaven. If death were to cross your path tonight, by you taking that step, would it be heaven or would it be hell? It's one or the other. Harold Paisley, I suppose, knows the most here. One night in the city of Belfast, as a young man, 19 years of age, he stood in the street corner waiting to cross the street. A trolley bus came round the corner, a man standing right beside him. The trolley bus hit him. Paisley went back into a store doorway. That man lay on the sidewalk. People gathered. He learned that man right beside him was ushered out into eternity. That was coming close. Afterwards, he learned that that man, on the Sunday night before that, sat in a gospel meeting, but he didn't think it was his last gospel meeting. Isn't that just like you? You don't think this is your last gospel meeting. Oh, as our brothers mentioned, 93 years of age? Time enough yet? That's the devil's time. God's time, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow night. People that get saved get down to business like the jailer. I must get this matter settled. It's for eternity. But young Paisley went to a man in that city, Sergeant Murphy, a man I knew not very well, but I knew him. He preached to me, Murphy did. And he went to his house. There was a young girl in the house, the rest were at meeting. And she opened the door and looked at him. He said, "Is Mr. Murphy in?" She says, "No, he's not," and she slammed the door. Mr. Murphy was at a meeting. Murphy came home. And the girl told him, "There's a fella here tonight looking for you." He said, "What was he like?" She says, "He was tall and thin and ragged looking." He says, "You know, that sounds like young Paisley." We were areas, shelters, in the streets at that time, during the war. And Mr. Murphy went out down the streets looking for Harold Paisley, and he found him. And he brought him home. Harold says, "Mr. Murphy, I want to get saved." Mr. Murphy phoned some friends, got them all into his house. They began to pray, praying for the salvation of that young man. There's not a soul in this meeting tonight, not one, that has not been prayed for. And if you land in hell, it's not because you weren't prayed for. It's because it's the place of your choice. Different ones talk to him, trying to point him to Christ. Finally, one man gave him a Bible. Open at 1 Timothy chapter 2. He said, "Read verse 24. Harold Paisley read it. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body in the tree." He looked at it. He read it again. Christ his own self bare Harold Paisley's sins in his own body in the tree. He closed the book. He gave it back to the man. He says, "I'm saved." "You're saved?" "Yes, how did you get saved?" "Christ his own self bare Harold Paisley's sin and his own body in the tree." You see, friend, he made it personal. That's what salvation is. You mean that's all? That's all he did. He believed God. He took God at his word that Christ had died for his sin. The danger of a soul, God spoke to him by the man by his side being ushered out into eternity. Did God ever speak to you? Circumstances in your pathway? Did God ever seek to stop you from going to hell? God sought to stop Balaam. But he went on, and he perished. The Lord may come tonight. The door will be shut. The disappointment of a soul.
I feel for those who know that the Lord is coming. I was brought up in it. But friend, when the door shuts, whenever it's a reality, whenever the soul finds out, the sinner finds out, I'm left. What a disappointment. What a letdown. Not ready. Then you'll seek to enter in. Then you'll call upon God for mercy. But the door's shut. Too late. Seeking to get in. When the door's shut. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us. How is that salvation to me? Friend, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth me from all sin. As if I was the only sinner, blood must be shed. The blood of Christ has been shed. Precious blood. Precious, precious blood of Jesus. Shed on Calvary. Shed for rebels. Shed for sinners. Shed for me. God punished His Son instead of me. That's what it means. I believe it. Do you? Is that enough to keep a sinner out of hell? God says it is. Do you want to be right? Agree with God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Miss Christ and you'll tarnish eternally. May God help you. And speak to your heart tonight. That you won't rest till you know God's great salvation shall be prayed. Our God and Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we desire to speak to Thee on behalf of those in this meeting who are without the Savior. Remember each one of them. We pray for them that they might be saved. We pray that they might be in earnest like the jailer, that they might put everything to one side and not rest until they know all is well for eternity. We thank Thee for those who are saved. We never deserved it, but we thank Thee Thou dost love us. And this provides salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ to meet our need. So we look to Thee expectantly tonight that Thou would speak to hearts and save souls and bring glory to Thy great name. Part us now with Thy blessing. Take each one home in safety. O God, may the Spirit move that they might be saved. These things we ask in the worthy and precious and adorable name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glad to see you tonight. Remember the meeting's announced in the will of the Lord. Number 7. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. We'll just sing the verses 2 and 3. Number 7.